from Raleigh, North Carolina, it's The Leftovers with Jay and Jack, a podcast dedicated to HBO's The Leftovers. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm F.U. Lori.
And welcome to the show. Yes, Lori makes a somewhat return off in the distance.
And another great speaking part.
At least she's there. You know, this, in episode two, we kind of answer the question, where's all the people that I know? Well, they were in the, we kind of caught up to that storyline.
But she's driving away.
Which is fine. Do we need any more from her?
A little bit more than what we get, I think.
Why do you say that?
There's some big stars on here that, people that we know who are not saying anything.
Yeah. So you're saying, they have the most cake acting gig in the world because they have to just stare?
I'm saying, basically, I could play the part.
Okay.
I think I could, I don't know how long the takes are.
So you're saying that you're better than the actress that plays Patty.
Patty?
Yeah.
No, Patty speaks.
She does.
Now I'm talking the
Liv Tyler. You're saying you're better than Liv Tyler? Tyler?
Well, she hadn't been on the show the last two episodes. The one that
she's
plays
in the credits, so she's getting paid.
I get that she's getting paid, but what's Maloney from used to be on the West Wing?
I don't know.
She played Donna on the West Wing.
I haven't seen the West Wing in over a decade.
I could play that part.
Okay. Okay. I mean, listen. This isn't a. I don't know why you're getting so upset. I don't think it's anything to get upset about.
I'm just saying they're big name stars, and they're just sitting there staring off into space. Now, again, people are saying, "Oh, you don't know? That's method acting."
I would say it's difficult. I'm not gonna say that.
Well, I don't know how many takes that maybe if the person is fumbling their lines and they can do 100 takes, and I guess keep staring off into space. I probably would. I'm a bit of a diva, and I'd get upset and just have a fit. Go get your lines right. I'm having no problem staring. Gee,
you would pull a Christian Bale, is what you're saying?
Exactly, or maybe a Bill O'Reilly or a Chris Berman. I'd just be like, it'd go viral, and people, what a jerk that guy is. But they don't know I've been staring off into space for 10 hours while this guy can't get his lines down.
Mm-hmm.
But who gets the Emmy? Oh, the guy that couldn't get his lines down, not me that was staring off into space for an hour and a half. break for lunch. Sure, let's break for lunch. I got nothing better to do than go have lunch and come back in here and watch you fumble over your lines. I just stare.
Well, it's good to see that you are in a good mood. Hello, everybody.
Couldn't they have gotten someone else to play
I'm
that?
Not sure.
On the West Wing, she never shut up.
I will say, is your mic turned up a little bit? Because you're peaking just a little bit on the audio.
I'm too loud?
Just a smidge. I can turn you up here and even it out a little bit.
I've had a rough day.
I'm just relax. Hey, listen, you're in a safe place now. Okay.
I'm a little tired.
You took the trip to Miracle, Texas. All right. You're safe now.
I did. Am I safe?
Well, it's just a matter of geography.
Just a matter of someone coming over and burning down my house. Or
that's true. That is
draining
true.
My lake.
So yes, we have the second episode of the second season of Leftovers, kind of this new direction or whatever you want to call it, continues. But this week we kind of almost go back to the Garveys and focus on how they arrived, in Miracle, Texas. And again, I think another very good episode, even though we went back to the town that was maybe a little more dour last season, I still felt, even though it's a serious subject and has some serious themes, it was more, I don't want to say lighthearted, but it didn't take itself too seriously, which made it an enjoyable episode.
Well, it didn't till the end.
True, yeah. So this podcast, like all of the podcasts now made by Jay and Jack Productions, is brought to you by you, the listener. And we currently have 76 patrons over at patreon.com/Jay and Jack. So this podcast is made possible by everybody's generous contributions that is made over at patreon.com. So big thanks to everybody there. We have a thank you page on jayandjack.com. And at the end of the show, we have some special thanks for very special patrons to our show. But if you would like to become a patron, you can today over at patreon.com/JayandJack, patreon.com/JayandJack. And just a little teaser. Actually, I should make an actual teaser, but so we have different tiers, right? So we hit our $500 tier. So this month we're going to be doing a Serenity podcast. So a podcast about the movie Serenity.
Serena!
Our Firefly podcast. At $1,000, we're going to do a live married man show if we can pay Dale enough money. I don't know if $1,000 is enough money now that I think about it.
Talk about divas.
But at the $2,000 level, which I think is my favorite one that we got, we're going to release Jack's first Survivor audition tape where he drove his
Zamboni. Is that why you sent all the bloopers to me today?
So, yes. Colleen was just like, well, we better make sure we still have the tapes because we're making all this hoopla about it. I was like, yeah, that's probably a good point. Let me see if I have the tape. So I went, found the tape. I have the tape. I have put it back in its safe location so Jack can't ruin it. I took some scenes. There's a very young Cliff in it. There's a very young you. I mean, 13 years did not do you well.
I have not aged well. I might have had a better audition tape if I just had been like Mary Jameson, who was played by Janelle Maloney, and just stared off into space.
Maybe.
That should have been my audition tape, just me doing this.
I was like, holy moly, he aged.
Only have one chin in that. I just have one chin and just... I said, man, I look
like he's so little.
Was that for Rudy?
Rudy, yeah.
He's so little.
So it's there. There's a Cliff in there. Dale is in part of it for like a second.
That's the reason I didn't get in.
That's true. Actually, I don't even think I used Dale in the final take. This is like the raw, like all the all the raw footage. But
it was like a motion picture.
Yes.
It was just too drawn out and too.
There's
and then
a very young Heather and Kayla, like it's crazy.
It's funny after we did the tape and sent in. I think Jeff said on the next Survivor, you know, just keep them simple. I go, what, are you talking about someone in particular there, Jeff?
Yeah. Yours,
Jeff. Why don't you just keep it simple? Why don't you instead of saying 5,000 things during a challenge, just go, all right, go. Why don't you keep it simple?
You gotta dig deeper. Maybe I should have been in the background doing that.
You're blowing it. He's losing it for his whole team. Just keep it simple, Jeff. Hey, good job.
So there's many other podcasts out there that we do right now. Ramblecast is back. You can check that out. The Married Man Show is coming back this week, and a lot of people are excited. They're asking where the feed is. Until we have our first episode we can put in, the feed probably won't show up. But once it is up, we will send links out if you follow us on Twitter, at Jay and Jack.
The Leftovers has its own feed, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. Leftovers has its own feed. I'm talking about...
Someone asked me today, and I said, no, it should be up.
Yeah, so it is up. I've heard some people say that they had to like resubscribe, which was interesting. So if you have friends out there maybe trying to get back to it, it's there.
Amazing Race is out there.
Amazing Race, Survivor.
Survivor.
Just a lot of stuff, so check it out.
The Walking Dead with Three Stupid Guys is going to be out tomorrow.
Yes. I've never listened to an episode, and I will for the first time, I guess, tomorrow. So we'll see how it goes.
It's funny because... There are some episodes that we're pretty honest about the show. If it's a bad episode, we pretty much say it's a bad episode. We don't sugarcoat it.
So we don't
give it the whole ho hum. But we have said it didn't do anything for me.
All right. Well, enough of this talk about other things. We're here to talk about the Leftovers. So, Jack, what do you say we get into our Leftovers recap? No.
I'm doing my Mary Jameson impression.
Oh, that's really, it's great. Like, you really captured it.
I got it locked down.
All right, here we go. All right, it's Leftovers recap time, and we had the second episode titled A Matter of Geography, and this one pulled the kind of James Bond move where it was a quote right out of the show at one point. Hmm. So this one kind of starts kind of where we left off at the end of season one with Nora walking up to Kevin's house in Mapleton, and she picks up the baby, who they named
Lily. And she's excited to see the baby.
She is, right? Because remember, she...
She lost her family.
What the Guilty Remnant horribly did to her.
Oh, yeah. It was terrible.
And, you know, it looks like she was writing a note. She was, you know, leaving town, but the baby made her stay.
Yeah, for sure.
So they're taking care of the baby, and Kevin gets off the phone with the FBI. No abductions or deaths. And the daughter asks, we're keeping her, right? And then it kind of becomes a, let's tell the truth about what's been going on. So Kevin tells...
Yeah, God, it was... And not just the truth, because they said... Because Lori... not Lori... Nora says she has her. Well, I have my stuff in the car because she asked Kevin asked, "Do you want to stay?"
Yeah,
I have my stuff in the car. Cause, like I said, because she was leaving.
Yep.
But then they go, "Well, we don't really know each other."
Yep.
So they tell the truth, and they tell the truth.
Yes. Yeah, so Kevin tells what happened with Patty Levin, and you know, she killed herself, and they buried her with her brother.
Your brother Matt helped me.
Okay. All right.
And then he closes it out, and I smoke. I thought that was funny. And then Nora, just kind of, you know, keeping with the beat there, says she hires prostitutes to shoot her, and she says she lied about her gun to Jill. Yeah. And I won't do that again. And Jill very friendly says, "Do I have to say something crazy now?"
I thought it was an interesting scene because that neither one were fazed that was going. I guess in a world where people just vanish one day,
yeah.
I guess things just. I guess it's a different world, so you just kind of.
Well, that I think after all they've been through, you know.
That's true, but just kind of like, you know, okay, this guy just buried somebody. And he got my brother to help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep good tonight.
Yeah. So we go to 2 months later, and we're at the laundromat, and we have a crying Lily in the car seat, which is very reminiscent of season one opener.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But
where the mother had the window down.
Yep.
When she shouldn't have had the window down.
Puts the baby in the car and gets a call from Nora. They're late for an appointment. He doesn't pay much attention to the crying baby. He has these headphones in with, like, blaring loud music.
Well, a woman came up and said, "Whose baby is this?"
Yeah.
Huh? What? It's my baby.
Yeah.
Oh, it's mine.
But he doesn't seem to, like, even care, even, like, want to even look at the baby.
You think that's it?
It's just he seemed very unfazed by it. Now, kind of as I've assumed later on that he was playing the loud music so that Patty wouldn't talk to him is mm-hmm. what my assumption was.
Okay.
Would you think the same way?
Maybe, maybe not.
Oh, maybe. Maybe it's my crackpot theory.
Maybe it is, and maybe it's not.
we go to get to social services. Social services.
Social services. It's easy for you to say. Suffer and succotash.
To officially adopt Lily. It's kind of a weird scene.
Can we call this guy Chuckles?
Yeah, right?
Because they even made a joke, and he goes... It's like the guy from Ferris Bueller, the teacher from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Bueller.
Yeah.
It's no personality.
Yeah.
Then he offers him another baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did we get a screen cap of that baby? Is it anybody's baby that we might know from the show?
I didn't see anything.
I saw no theories on it, but I was like going, okay, why would he just offer these two a baby?
Maybe there's a lot of babies that are put up for adoption, and he's like, oh, well, they're taking this baby.
Well, I get that, but
I also like that he's just like, well, he's white, but
he's white. It's like, a 1 month old. It's white.
It's just really weird. So
it was just weird. It was a weird scene.
Yes,
we're good.
But again, maybe in after the departure, you know, a lot of people put babies up for adoption. I don't know. So maybe they have an overrun with babies. Maybe.
I guess. It was a weird scene.
It is. It was definitely weird.
It had to mean something that he offered them a baby.
Yeah. Right.
And I was racking my brain trying to figure it out. I go, trying to think, who was pregnant last year from the show that we didn't – I cannot remember who was pregnant, if there was anyone pregnant.
Yeah, it could either be something like that or just trying to, again, show that this world is definitely different. But, you know, who knows?
All right.
We then go to Kevin, who is staring at the Guilty Remnants houses while he's playing – Where Is My Mind by the Pixies.
Well, he was staring at what was left of the house.
Sure, you're right. They're all burnt down. A great song by the Pixies, and actually for the super long-time Jay and Jack fans, one of our listeners made a video to that music, a lost video.
I remember that one.
But it's a really good song. Love that song. So then he works on fixing the washing machine, and it's kind of flashing to Patty's death. With her committing suicide.
He has a lot of patience. He reminds me of me fixing something.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Where the tools aren't working. You don't have the right tools. You have to go get the tools.
So as he's getting supplies, because he needs extra hoses or something like that, he asks for a shovel. And so then he goes and he digs up Patty.
And Patty was probably ripe.
A little ripe, yeah.
Because he kind of gave that look like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know, her face hadn't deteriorated that much, though.
Did they show her? I looked away. Like, I didn't want to look at it.
I looked, and it looked like either he was just seeing Patty, how he remembers her, or that's Patty now. But I can't imagine Patty would still have that much skin left.
Yuck. All right. Okay.
It wasn't Walking Dead type stuff where the skin is just down to the you know, the torn flesh, but
moving on.
You think there'd be some worms in there or something coming out. I don't know. Just be
what? All right, okay. All right. So he puts her in the back of his truck and a state police vehicle pulls in front of him, so then he decides to, you know, speed in front of the car. And he gets pulled over, and he says there's a body in the back of the car. So, obviously...
I got a body in the back of my truck.
The guilt of Patty's death, yeah. And probably, too, Patty talking to him...
Yeah.
Is really weighing on him. So, maybe he thinks this will, you know, change whatever it is. We then go to Nora and Jill are taking care of Lily, and Matt sends Lily a Miracle Texas onesie, which is pretty nice.
Yeah, that's nice. You notice how Nora and Jill have bonded?
Yeah, they definitely have a bond.
They definitely have a nice, strong bond. They're like two. Because remember last season, they weren't really chummy.
No, and I think it's just kind of wherever Jill was at that point in time. Because then we do have Jill having lunch with her brother, who's sick. I was like, is that him?
Yeah, Tom's got the sniffles.
So
now was he really sick in real life, or was
also,
it just?
She refers to him as Lewis, so I don't know if that's.
No, it's from Trading Places.
Oh, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's from Trading Places.
Oh, I did not know.
It's the two characters, Dan Aykroyd and Eddie Murphy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You didn't know that?
I didn't.
I think it could be a thing about Trading Places. They've done that before, Trading Places. Maybe they should trade places.
I don't know.
I think that's an inside joke or something maybe in the future to come. I don't know.
Cool. Nice. But he's sick, and she tells him that they adopted her, and he says they keep the name Lily.
Well, he stops smiling at first.
Yeah. Why?
He goes, well, why, you know, why should I care? Should I care?
He's still, like, messed up kind of from all of that, you know?
Yeah.
But he doesn't want any communication to her dad, and he says, should I let him know you're okay? And he's like, no one's okay. And she says, Jill says, I am. It says you can too if you want to join us. So it kind of shows the difference between the two siblings.
Jill's crying. Jill's upset.
Yeah. So Tom gives her a note from her mother, but she tears it in half. And he leaves, and the mom is driving the car, and they drive away.
Yeah, she just drives away. F you, Lori.
So we go back to
it's
Nora.
It's your daughter. How do you do that to your daughter? What's going on here? It's your daughter.
Well, remember last season, just, you know, going back, she...
I get it, but...
She had a baby, and it departed from her, you know, from herself. That's, you know, that's got to be horrible.
All right.
So we go to Nora, and who's walking Lily, and she gets an offer on her house for $2.7 million. That's a
$2.7 million,
which is more than the $600,000 asking price. So she wants to find out more, and it's MIT, and they think it's a matter of geography as to why her husband and kids disappeared. That's the title.
I sent MIT a note last night saying people departed from my house.
See if it raises your value.
Yeah, just try. You know, got to do what you got to do.
And, you know, they said you were over in the kitchen while your family was at the table. And that's kind of what they're theorizing, is that it's a matter of geography or where
right.
you were when mm-hmm. it happened.
Yes.
And they want to find out so people can know how to prevent a reoccurrence, which kind of freaks out Nora a little bit. You know?
Right.
She's like, so you're saying it's happening again? So
they said, sure. Well, they said, well, why not? Why wouldn't it?
Yeah. So, it definitely kind of changes her outlook a little bit. So, Garvey is in the police station, and an ATFE agent questions him. She doesn't seem to give a crap about Patty. And,
well, she obviously doesn't like them.
No. And I
like
that
she goes, you want to ask me about my eye? No. Sure. A lot of people like to ask me. You think maybe one of the Virginia Slims did something to her eye?
That could be. Yeah, the guilt. I definitely could see the real. They just sit there and stare and want to make you feel really bad about yourself.
Maybe
so.
They put one of their cigarettes in her out in her eye.
Oof.
I don't know. It just seemed odd that she despised him and then want to ask me about my eye. Does anybody do that? I would if I was sitting, especially if I'm getting interrogated. I wouldn't go, hey, what happened to your eye?
Yeah,
I wouldn't do that to anybody. I might stare at go look, but. Anyway,
so she says, do you want to, do you want a second chance or do you want to like ruin your life right now? So he chooses to leave. And as he gets in his car, he sees Patty in his car. So kind of, I guess, affirms what's going on and why he wanted to do all that is he wanted to, kill this demon that's following him.
The demon Patty.
And we get to his house and Kevin Sr. is home and he has been released.
Yes.
And he's going to Australia for an indefinite visit. He has a walk and talk with his dad. His dad still hears voices, but he started listening. And he says, I could cry about how the world ended or I could start it up again.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives a light bulb going off for.
Well, he also said, no, I'm lying. I still see what I see. I just told him I don't.
Yeah.
In so many words, what he said.
So we have the new Garvey family dinner, with the additions of, Nora and Lily, and, Garvey's kind of a stoic staring face going on. He's working on his best guilty remnant.
He is.
And he wants to get out of here, not the restaurant, but he wants to get out of here, and they arrive in Miracle, Texas.
I looked, it was a restaurant. You can't substitute.
So they arrive at the Miracle Camp, and it's very interesting. It seems like, people are trying to get in, but they let so-and-so many in. And there's a camp outside. They're trying to pay cash for the wristband.
One woman's been there for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll give you money for your wristbands.
And a song that was in the trailer for this season, Take It All by Ruelle, R-U-E-L-L-E. Really good song, I thought. They're just setting up the mood.
The music the music's been great in this
I agree. So they get there. They get to the visitors area, and he has to put his dog in quarantine.
My dog? What are you doing with my dog? 60 days? Wouldn't you be a little leery about having to give your dog up for 60? Well, you don't like dogs, but having to give your dog up for 60 days?
Like, if you go to Australia, it's the same thing.
Well, I get that, but Hawaii. It's just. But maybe that's a coincidence. Maybe that's ties into the whole Australia thing.
Well, no, it's just whenever you're going, say, like most island countries.
Also, remember, too, that
a non-native species can.
Living in New York, they were having problems with dogs last year. Maybe
I think it has less to do with that. Honestly.
Maybe there was something about the dogs. If they had. I don't. It just seems odd that you'd lock your dog up for 60
days.
That's
normal. That's it. Like if you're going into.
If I came to Raleigh and brought my dog over here on a plane and I picked him up at the airport that day, there was nobody saying, "Hey, quarantine the thing."
Because it's in the contiguous United States. But if you're going to this
Miracle Texas is still in the United States.
But maybe they're saying that there could be some type of contaminant on the dog that could.
All right.
Affect the
all right.
Park.
I'm just thinking that it was weird.
It's weird in the
what
sense.
What about cats?
Any pet.
A bird?
Like I have friends that moved to Australia and they had to put their pets in
Australia's
quarantine.
I get it. It's a different country.
It's an island. So it's the ecosystem. It's not about the country. It's about the ecosystem.
I get it, but it's just Texas is part of us. It's part of the United States.
But maybe they're afraid there could be some type of non-native species that could throw off.
You don't think it has anything to do with the dogs, the issues we had with dogs last year?
No, I think it's more them being
concerned.
Dude
was going around shooting dogs last year.
I do.
Kevin was shooting dogs last
year.
But
here's the thing. They're very selective at how many people they're letting into, even people, not even dogs. And
I can see being selective on people.
So I think the reason is, and this is just a theory, I'm not saying this is fact, but I think that to prevent whenever this reoccurrence happens, because this is something that's being talked about this season by the people in this world, this universe, they have to keep things in balance so that if it does happen again, the whatever factors, whatever is a matter of geography,
then why don't they quarantine?
Or a matter of,
then why don't you quarantine the people for 60 days?
Well, so they only let so and so many people in.
Well, you're still just letting people in, just saying okay.
So the dogs, they got to make sure that everything's
checked out. You got $3 million. You can come. I think it has something to do with
if
last
the dog
year's
has a
dog
disease.
Problem.
If the dog has a disease, it could throw things off. So
I'm gonna say right now, it has something to do with. We're gonna find out. It had something to do with last year's dog problem.
And I am going to disagree, and we'll let
because
the
there's no
decide
reason. If you're going to quarantine the dogs, you need to quarantine the people.
No, it's not the same. I don't even think it's going to come up again.
Maybe that's what John Murphy's doing. Instead of quarantine, he just goes around and burns their house down.
No, I think it's more of a non-issue. I don't think it's going to come back up. I think it's just a quarantine thing.
All right.
So then we have
unless they don't want, like, if John comes to your house, he doesn't want to break into your house if you have a dog to protect you.
True. That's true. Could be. But again, I don't find putting a dog in quarantine a weird that weird.
You're heartless though.
So then we go to Miracle National Park, kind of the visitor center, and there's a visitor video. And he runs into the guy that John's son went to.
Virgil. I had to look it up.
And he offers to help him with his situation. So yeah. Does he know about the whole Patty thing?
Yeah, I got this house with the Christmas lights year round.
And Nora is freaking out because the house that she rented and put a $50,000 deposit on burnt down.
I'd be upset too. Well, have you talked to the owner?
We did it. I lied. my dog.
So then Jill, after Garvey has the argument with the person, Jill says that Nora is at auction. I think she's buying a house.
Well, I do like that Kevin was the calm one.
Yeah.
Nora, relax.
Because, again, ever since Nora was told there could be a recurrence, she doesn't want to happen again, right? She's kind of found her happiness again. And she
well, does anybody want it to happen again?
No, not at all.
Well, maybe you because you don't like dogs or humans, so you just – as long as it's not you, right?
You're cool. Anywho, so they buy a house for $3 million.
Well, the bidding went from one point. What was it?
1.6.
1.6.
Says $3 million. He's like, the bidding's at 1.6.
And everybody just turned around. And Kevin's like, "What are you doing?"
Honestly, I think it's a pretty good investment opportunity because you saw those people out there in the camp. I think $3 million, a couple years.
I think
easily double her money.
I think it'd take you $3 million just to flip on top of to flip that house.
No, it's got good bones. It's got good bones, that house.
Oh, the house is a piece of junk.
But you fix it up, it'll be an awesome house.
Yeah. You definitely get $8 million for it.
So, but they have to wait for the money to clear through the banks, so they stay with Matt, who's in a very, very nice outhouse shack next to the church.
Yeah. Matt is happy.
He's happy. He's happy. He has no rooms.
And Mary seemed happy, so.
Yeah. So they set up his tent outside. Matt seems to be hiding something, and Nora wants to know, but Garvey backs him up. So then we have the funny line, "What, so you guys bury a body together and you got each other's back?" And he's like, "You told her?"
"You told her?" We tell everyone. We're very honest with each other. We tell each other everything.
Except for that I'm talking to a dead person.
Yeah.
He's not talking to her. He's not talking to her. She's talking to him.
No, he's
in
just
all
scared.
Fairness.
Yeah, he just.
Well, honey, I didn't even talk to her. I didn't even talk to her. She was talking to me, honey.
Did you have to quarantine Patty for 60 days?
Well, she said she would stay with the dog. Yeah. So they're in the tent, and he puts on his music again, assuming.
Well,
he
stares out the little.
He's afraid.
He stares off into space going.
Yeah.
He puts his headphones on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So they arrive at their house. Very nice place. And we see John on his birthday getting his special birthday pie.
All right.
Which we still haven't figured out what's in that pie yet. I'm really curious now. Or will we ever know?
I think some people think it's the same pie that was from The Help.
Oh, so a poop pie? A poop pie?
A poop pie, yes.
Poop pie.
Poop pie!
So he tries to light his cig in the stove, and none of the stoves work.
I know people do that, but is that the safest way? I mean, smoking is bad enough, but a gas stove that's having trouble. And as we can see, though, when Kevin was trying to fix the washer, it doesn't seem too mechanically inclined.
Yeah, exactly.
So, but even I would know, okay, if the gas is not coming out, you don't lean over the gas because eventually when it does ignite, it's going to – the gas is going to just – whatever is in the air, it's going to, you know, they're going to have a poof.
Yeah.
Some flames going coming at you.
So Patty slams his head on the.
Did Patty slam his head or did he just fall on his head?
No, that was a slam. I thought it was a slam.
Well, he slipped on some water that wasn't there.
Yeah. You need to stop pretending I don't exist. I do exist, and you need to talk to me. So Patty's trying to tell him something.
Yeah.
So he gets a Band-Aid, the Band-Aid we presumably see.
He didn't like talking to Patty when she was alive. Why would he want to talk to Patty when she's dead?
That's true. And he is invited to John's birthday barbecue. So we'll be there 15 minutes in and out.
He doesn't even want to go.
Well, does anybody want to go? You know what I mean? It's like,
no, it's one of those things like, oh, really?
We just got here. I don't want
to. I just got here. I got a lot of stuff to do. Like, the game's on. Of course, we have no electricity.
We've all had those moments.
Yeah, we have. Not me. If you're listening, I always enjoy going to your birthday parties.
So we're there. We kind of go to those scenes where they're at, you know, the candles are getting ready to be blown out and Evie has the cake and then she leaves. And they go to get the pie.
Well, the girls say, welcome to Miracle. Where are the new names? Oh, thanks.
So he goes to get the pie because the cake's ruined. And Patty says, interesting family, the Murphys. Makes you wonder if you're part of their story or they are part of yours.
Right.
I'm not going anywhere. Now, that's an interesting thing she said, right?
Because
it's also kind of a callback to last week's episode where it really focused on the Murphys.
Right.
So it kind of makes you question whose story is it? Are they, you know, I thought that was a really cool line.
It was a very cool line.
So in your opinion, what do you think?
Well, we don't know.
I'm asking you, Mr. Theorizer.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Obviously, the Garveys are the stars, right? They've been around.
Are they? That's the question, right?
Or has this been all a dream?
Well, it's not all a dream. That's lazy.
It's all in Janelle Maloney's
lazy crackpot theorizing. So he gets back to their house, and a light bulb blows. He freaks out. And I kind of understand Garvey's side on this, right? She blew $3 million. On this house.
Well, it wasn't his money.
That's true, but you know, they're a couple. I mean,
that's true. Joint, yeah, but,
you know,
it is a lot of money.
So
he has a temper, and he said something he shouldn't have said. And
yeah,
Nora walks away with the baby.
Yeah,
without talking, and you know he knew. I have to sleep on the couch tonight. Oh wait,
I have to sleep have on the couch. Floor. Hopefully, there's a floor in this house.
With Patty in my ear all day long. Nah, 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 nah.
Jill says, don't blow it. And he says, am I blowing? He's like, no, but you have potential. So he goes and he makes up with Nora saying.
No, I thought she said something. I thought Jill said something wise. She bought the house because it makes her feel safe.
Yes, absolutely.
And that's when Kevin went, oh, I'm a jerk.
Yep.
That was the key. Because Jill, you know, it was a funny back and forth there. But when she said that.
He realizes he screwed up.
That's when Kevin went, oh, I got to go say I'm sorry now.
I was wrong.
I was wrong. You were right. Hug me.
So they make up. And also, kudos for being able to put down a baby that easily, going to sleep without any noise machine or something.
Yeah, I mean, it's just
it's a little too easy.
It's the miracle of miracle. You notice the baby hasn't been screaming since it got to miracle.
It's true. It's very true. I didn't move there. So he goes to sleep, and then he wakes up in the creek bed, the same creek bed where we assume Evie disappeared
from. Well, the dried creek bed.
Yeah, dried
and
creek
bed.
And
those fish, are they using different fish?
They probably.
Because these fish men are just flopping around with no water.
I don't know. I don't know how they do that. Computer generated. So he's tied to a cinder block, which is interesting.
Yeah, to his leg.
So somebody throw him in there, and so there's that. He sees the headlights of the car. He goes to Evie's car, and the whole time, like, don't put your hands on it. Don't put your hands on it. Don't put your hands.
And
on
he
it,
put his put hand on it.
He puts his hand on it. I was like, you idiot!
You used to be a cop.
That's a key word. Used to be. So John, his son, arrives, screaming out, Evie. He hides off the ledge there, and Patty's there, and she tells Garvey, uh oh.
that line made me crack up.
So close to the episode, kind of ended where we ended last week. So we're not any further than that kind of.
But it ended
reveal.
On a huge twist.
Yes,
I thought it was when they're laying in bed together, and
yeah,
and Kevin's staring off into space. I go, okay, this is the end of the episode. And then he wakes up in the dry creek bed,
yep,
or lake bed. I go, what? How did he end up there?
And we had that last season, right? That's when woke
why
up.
Does he have, why does he have that cinder block on his leg? What is going on here? And I go, is this before or after? And then I go, oh, crap, it's before.
Yeah.
John arrives. I go, what is going on here?
Yeah.
And it's like, no, no, no. So it was one of those episodes where you're like, no, 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 I need more. Don't do that to me. Oh, you jerks.
You know, I stayed through the whole thing to see the clips for the rest of the season, and it definitely looks very good. So
I always hate those, though. I always hate those clips because did it really tell me anything?
No. But
it's like most of the time, like I think Lost was the last one I could remember what – like I stay and watch the clips for almost every show, and then I forget what the – by the next week, I've already forgotten.
Yeah.
What's about?
Next week on.
Not quite as bad as Mad Men. Mad Men would go. Give you,
Mad Men was useless.
And you go, what the? If you want extended clips, go to AMC.com. Well, I'm not doing that. I'm not playing that game.
But honestly, I kind of like that Mad Men did that way because you really had no idea it was going to happen. So you
I didn't care, but I wasn't going to be. I don't know how many people did that. Went to AMC.com for further, you know. Maybe
further clips from the next episode, or just clips.
Further. It was, I guess, I never did it, so it would, they would say, or more information if you want to see more of what's going to happen. Go,
I was just clips.
That's what it said. I never did. I didn't fall for the trick. I'm not going. You know, no. Either you show me the you show me what's going on now, or I'm not doing it.
I'm playing your games. All right.
I'm riled up today.
You are.
I'm riled up.
You're a grumpy old man today.
Well, I'm a grumpy old man every day.
In a Survivor tape, you're still young.
Yeah, it's true. You know, I was thinking about the difference between Tom Selleck from Magna P.I. And Frank Reagan.
Yeah.
Well, Magna P.I. was the guy you wanted to hang out with, have a drink. You know, you could have fun with him. Frank Reagan is the guy who says, just get off my lawn.
Yeah.
So that's how his characters have changed. But
anyway, it's true.
I was just thinking about today because I've slowly become that guy. I'm not quite Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
No.
I've never pointed a finger at someone.
Fairness, Clint Eastwood's like 105. Like,
but he's Clint Eastwood still. He still could beat you up.
I know. I'm not trying to bash your hero or anything. I'm just saying.
He might be in a walker now, but he could still knock you out.
Hey, I'll show you something, Sonny.
See, I'm running out of time because my heroes are getting all old and stuff like that now.
It's true.
I have
a bad track record because the three pillars of like my heroes growing up, Tony Gwynn, Jimmy Page, Steve Jobs. So two out of the three are dead. So I have a bad track record.
And Jimmy lived a hard life.
But he's in his 70s and he still looks great. So the whatever deal he made with the devil has worked out for him. but that's a whole nother story, I guess.
So yeah, I would like to be an Alan Alda. Johnny Carson was one, but he's gone.
Yeah.
And Clint Eastwood. I'm looking at Clint Eastwood right now because I have the Good, the Bad, the Ugly poster in here. So. Mm. And two of those three guys are gone.
It's true. All of the Man With No Name movies are on HBO Now right now.
Are they?
Side note, yeah. I watched Fistful of Dollars the other day.
But I have HBO Go. Is that on HBO Go?
Yeah, it's the same. Like $8.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I did. Well, why didn't you tell me that?
I just remembered it now when you told me that you had the poster there. So now consider yourself told.
Oh, all
right.
You.
It is time.
I didn't realize you were like the characters the Leftovers just stare off into space. Oh, was I supposed to tell you that?
What do you say? We get into some listener feedback. We do have a phone call, and I think we have some other stuff too.
Yes, we do. It's so exciting. Feedback.
All right, it's listener feedback time. Do you want to do the phone call first? Do you want to do some of the Facebook stuff? Like, what do you want to do, Jack? You pick.
You want to do it because you know I'm
your
just
pick.
Easy.
Taster's choice.
I'm just easy going.
I'll go through the Facebook comments first. This is on our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup. And let's see here. Paul McHugh says to continue on. There is a there's 8 connections to Moses link that he posted in last week's thread, but there's a 10 commandments are non-negotiable. There's a little clip there on the side.
Was that on where I saw that? But it's because people saying the guy in the stands, the tower looked like Moses, right?
Yeah, there's different things. And kind of continuing on this week, there is the Ten Commandments are non-negotiables.
Yeah, I saw that post.
Michelle said the new credits slash intro is starting to grow on me. In Hawaii, I ended up watching the first episode 3 times because they kept having it on late at night when there was nothing else on. I still miss the old credits, especially the music, but I'm pleased that other season one music is being used within the episode. It is true. There is a lot of the theme music in there. So far, this is probably my current favorite TV show. Granted, I'm not completely caught up with all the shows I missed this past week, but especially due to the mystery and intrigue, this is my pick overall. I can't wait for the season to continue. This non-binge watching is for the birds. Pout. This one is from Susan. A few observations. The cop had an eye patch a la Mikhail on Lost. Hey, there you go.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that till I saw that.
I'm thinking this means she's definitely not seeing the whole picture. Is anyone? Kevin. Oh, boy. Kevin Bedecker.
Hey, I just want to. I'm just could be laughing about something else I thought about today.
Kevin better clean up his potty mouth as Lily grows. Or the baby's first word will be an F-bomb. Well, Zach hasn't dropped an F-bomb yet, so.
Well, it's just a matter of time for Zach dropping an F-bomb.
I guess Kevin and Nora were going to rent Isaac's house since it burned. I think it's a good connection there.
I think that's, I didn't even think about that one until.
Really? Didn't think about that?
Didn't even think about that. Because I was thinking about something else during
Bobby,
the whole episode.
See, you're all grumpy about whatever happened at the Iceplex today. You need to let it go.
No. I'm not grumpy. I was thinking about this. I watched it last night for the first time, and then today. I was thinking about something during the episode. Then I'm going to talk about my theory that I just kind of got sidetracked on what was going on. And I said, I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that. Oh, I didn't think about that. Now, could John be burning these places down because he doesn't want people moving? Did he burn it down because Isaac was going to rent it out?
I think yes.
He doesn't want out. It wasn't so much that he was lying about being could tell the future. So remember, that's what we thought it was.
No, that's what I thought last night when I was thinking about it, is that he burned it down because he didn't want any people coming into.
He doesn't want new people coming into his town.
Which, funny enough, they end up moving right next door.
Exactly.
If he burnt it down because of that, and that's an if, we don't know for sure, but I think it's a good theory.
I think it's a strong if. I'm dropping the if.
Dropping the if bomb?
No, I'm dropping the if. It's fact.
Oh, okay. All right. I think that's a pretty strong theory. But, again, a bit of fate kind of winning out there, where if he did do that to try and prevent them from coming, they came anyway and ended up living right.
Well, remember, the guy said something bad was going to happen to him in a couple days. Yeah. He burned the house down, and the Garveys moved right next to him. Maybe that was the bad thing that's going to happen to him.
No, losing his daughter was the bad thing.
No. The Garveys moved it. Well, what happened? Mm-hmm. The Garveys moved next to him. He loses his daughter. Why? Because there's Garvey in the middle of the pool, the dry bed there.
Yeah.
Sleeping with the fishes. Hmm. So.
Yeah, could be.
What the bad thing was.
Going to Sarah's comment here, not sure why they didn't show what Kevin was staring at in the living room.
I will tell you today what he was staring at.
Oh, okay. Thought for sure we'd see the other point of view on that scene. My guess is he was hearing / seeing Patty again.
Huh.
So I guess Jack doesn't want to spoil his theory, so I don't want to give it away.
You want to know now or you want to wait?
No,
till
no, we'll the, wait till your theory.
You want to wait till the drum roll.
I will wait till the drum roll.
Do we even have the drum roll?
Oh, we have the drum roll, but before we get to that, you had something else before we get to our phone call, right?
Yes, Lori Taylor sent me something saying, I wanted to point out the aspect of the leftover for your podcast. The baby's name is Lily, a.k.a. Lilith, a.k.a. the oldest demon in hell, cast from heaven not long after Lucifer. Then she also said in another version, she was Adam's first wife, cast out of the Garden of Eden because she refused the idea of males being superior. Now, really, shouldn't all women be? No, I'm kidding. To women and
you
was
said
taken,
it, not me.
Was taken in by Satan to be one of his many wives. However you look at it, she's considered evil in most religions.
So great call out.
But the baby's a cutie pie. I mean, come on.
He's a cute baby. The whole thing last season is that the people were saying this baby is the Antichrist, right? That was a big theory.
Right. It was a huge theory out there.
And you know, Lily, you know, the demon Lilith. So I think there is something there. I think it's a good call out. And whether it's the writers of the show just kind of, you know, giving a little nod or a wink to the fans of the show that have, you know, that had a theory that this baby would possibly
be
the Antichrist.
You think it's Damon's up to his old tricks, saying, okay, let's put some clues in here. Let's get people thinking.
I don't think it's either just a fun nod and wink to the fans, or it really kind of reaffirms that possibly this baby is the Antichrist, because everything seems to be fine and miracle, and this Antichrist baby comes in and
Everything's bad.
All heck breaks.
Maybe loose. That was a bad thing that came to me. That was going to happen in 2 months.
Maybe.
Two
Who
days.
Knows? Who knows? But very, very good contribution. Thank you. So, Jack, are you ready for the phone call?
I'm ready.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Jane, handsome Jack. This is Jared from Missouri. I was calling with two theories. First off, well, I guess the first one's not a theory. The first one is just something that we noticed is that his dad, Kevin Garvey's dad, is going to Australia. And in the first episode, Moses wants that guy's son to send a letter to Australia. Is it a coincidence? I think not. The other one is how Kevin Garvey cannot seem to mess up his life. They try to go to an adoption where everything goes wrong. They're given the child, and then they're all trying to give another child on top of it. Then he tries to turn himself in for a just unbelievably suspicious circumstance. No dice. He gets away free. Then he ends up in a town where, and this is where I'm filling in gaps, either A, he tries to kill himself by tying a rope to his foot with a cinder block and trying to drown himself in a river, and then the universe course corrects itself so that he cannot, or B, someone tried to kill him by putting that on his foot and the universe course corrected and made him survive. And the house and the money, of course, where she tried. Everything has led Harvey's have to live in this town at this time with that baby. So that's our crackpot theory, and we're going to stick to it. Thank you very much, Shane Jack. Have a good day.
All right. Thank you for the call. Some good stuff in there.
I think Jared is spot on. I mean, I didn't even put two and two together on the Kevin Sr. going to Australia.
Yep.
And the letter going to Australia.
Yeah.
Can't be. I agree. Coincidence? I think not.
I agree
and then,
completely.
And again, I didn't even see the Kevin. He can't mess up. No
or
matter
he can't
what
he die.
He can't die. There's something that about him. He just there's something going on where nothing goes wrong.
So could it be he has like unfinished business that he needs to attend?
That could be it. That could be it. But great points. I didn't notice either one.
Something else he brought up that kind of made me think is, which is dangerous, but still.
You need some aspirin?
So either he tried to kill himself or somebody tried to kill him. Now, it seems a bit of a stretch since the fire department burns down the houses, but do you think maybe somebody that didn't want him in the town, maybe John, tried to kill him?
Wouldn't John have known that?
Maybe. Or maybe he blacked out too. I don't know. I'm just throwing, who would try to kill him in the town?
Matt?
Why would Matt try to kill him?
Well, he's already been shooting off his mouth about what Matt had done. You think Matt wants the word get out that he buried a dead person?
Tried
to cover up
a
crime.
I think
a man of God, a man of God, doing that.
I think it's because it seems like
snitches.
People don't care about. I don't think people care about that it was a guilty remnant member. So I think people are fine.
Well, but Matt's a man of God.
No, or it's maybe something we didn't see yet.
Well, the people in Miracle wouldn't know anything about the Virginia Slims. They wouldn't let them in.
True, very
right?
True.
There's no way they could. There's no way they'd let them in. Or
yeah.
They're in quarantine.
With the dogs, yeah.
With the dogs, yeah. But they're smokers, so you don't want smokers in there.
That's true. Nothing worse. Worse than smokers. But thank you, everybody, for your feedback. As always, feedback is what makes our shows great. So thank you so much for calling in. You can email as well at lostpodcast@gmail.com. You can also...
Once again.
LostPodcast@gmail.com. And you can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Yeah, call anytime.
And we'll take
this
your calls
roll off
in
the
as
this doesn't
well.
Roll off the tongue.
It's 385-309-0311.
No, it's not. But it's not the same as 206-309.
It was that because we made it that way.
0311. Call and give them a hard time.
and send in your feedback. We usually our usual day is recording on Monday nights, so you have about a day to get in your calls and feedback to be on the show. So thank you
exactly.
for this week's. And if anybody out there wants to give feedback or anything, contributions for next week's episode, you have once it airs until about Monday night Eastern time, I would say 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock.
If you want to give feedback saying Jay should never think again, that's okay.
That's probably wise. It's probably wise feedback. All right. So, Jack, it is now time. You've been hinting and, you know, leading
hinting.
Us that you have this crackpot theory for the week.
For the week.
The drum
for the
soul,
week.
Or for the episode. I'm going to get the drum soul ready. It's drum right. soul. Drum roll ready.
Whatever you're trying to say.
All right. What do you got for us?
All right. So it's been bugging me since last week because I think Sarah even mentioned what. Remember, I paused it. I remember talking about when Kevin's staring off out into space and he sees
yes.
the couch. John, we have that same couch at home.
Yes, he did talk about it.
But as we know, John, Kevin doesn't even have a couch.
Yeah.
Because his house has no furniture. I mean, hey, was U-Haul sponsoring this episode? I mean, I saw several
some good
shots
product
of
placement.
U-Haul. I mean, there was different. There's no way they did that for free. It could have been. It doesn't hurt to rent stuff like that, too. It just seemed odd that I not that it's important to my theory, but it just they were showing the different definitely was being sponsored by U-Haul.
When you're trying to start your life over after losing your family for no good reason,
but you know
choose
what
U-Haul
will take you there. it might be bumpy, but U-Haul will take you there. Okay, so Kevin's staring off into things, and then he's staring at he's doing laundry. He's staring. He's walking with his dad. He sees things over here. He's mm-hmm. he's sleeping in the tent. He's playing music to drown out the sounds and stuff like that. Well, he sees Patty, but there's sometimes they show us him seeing nothing,
mm-hmm.
and there's other times they show Patty. I think what Kevin is seeing, and I think his dad sees the same thing. He sees the departed,
huh.
and he hears the departed. That's what he's seeing, because why wouldn't they show us? Why wouldn't they just show us Patty every time? Why is it a big secret?
Well, here's the thing. Kevin Sr. last time. But if they're in Miracle and he's staring, nobody departed from Miracle.
But we don't know for a fact that no one departed from Miracle.
They did. They checked everything and they...
Okay, yeah, whatever. So Kevin is seeing the departed.
Okay.
Because there's a theory, MIT, and who's going to argue with them? I'm not going to argue with MIT. They have a theory that it was location where they were at, where they departed. I think that people Nora was never supposed to depart, but her family, those three were chosen to depart.
Well, then that doesn't support the matter of geography then, because
Kevin was cleaning the gutters. Lori was at the doctor's office. Tom and Jill were at school, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Tom was supposed to be at school, was he?
No. Actually, there's something that's interesting for both Kevin Garvey and Lori, is if it is a matter of geography, one, the baby was inside Lori, and two, Garvey was, well, I'm not going to go there, but was with another woman cleaning
the
gutters.
He was cleaning the gutters, right.
They were in the same exact location. Why didn't they go?
But I think you had to be in the location. It's like beaming someone up in Star Trek. You're supposed to be in that location when it's like a certain time. It's like whatever happened, this is where the location they were supposed to be
uh-huh.
when they departed. Like Liv Tyler's character last year. Liv Tyler, I'm sorry. She was supposed to be there. Remember, she kept feeling guilty about something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that we kind of said maybe they were supposed to depart. Maybe they knew there's maybe Lori. That's what her. Like we said maybe it was because losing her baby. I think they know they were supposed to depart and they didn't because they were in the wrong location. They weren't in the right location. And I think Kevin is seeing the departed.
But Kevin was in the right location though.
He wasn't in the right. He wasn't at his house. He wasn't
at the girl departed that he was cleaning the gutters with. In the same geographic location,
she might have been she might have been where she was supposed to be at the time. Kevin wasn't supposed to be with this girl.
Okay, but Lori was supposed to be at the doctor's getting checked.
Well, but she didn't depart.
So
she's
that's
at the wrong location.
That's where I almost think, in that sense, MIT's theory about it's a matter of geography doesn't add up, because if that was true,
it might not. But I guarantee
Kevin would have departed.
Kevin
is
seen
Lori would have departed.
And why Kevin ended up in the lake, I couldn't tell you that. But he's supposed, and what Jared's saying, he can't do anything wrong. Nothing, everything goes his way, because he was supposed to depart.
Mm-hmm.
And why would we see Patty and then not see Patty? They're telling us, and his dad said something. His dad said something about the people I know that I wrote it down. I just crumbled it up and threw it away. But he said he said something about, I know the people. I see what I see is things that have gone. What I see is things that have gone. I can't change that, so I might as well start something over, basically is what he said. So he's seeing the departed. He's seeing, I can't cry over it because I can't change it.
Uh-huh.
So that's what's happening. Kevin is seeing the departed.
Okay.
That's what's going on. I'm telling you. I know. I'm telling you, bud. I'm putting all my money, instead of the Dolphins winning the Super Bowl, I'm putting everything I own on that theory being correct.
All right.
Like Kevin is seeing the departed. That's why he brought the cow. He again, if they never showed Patty, it'd be different. But he was seeing other things when Patty, and we were also seeing Patty. Why would he be so afraid?
Patty's scary, man.
I get it. Patty's scary, but just the headphone thing is weird, because their people are trying to communicate with him. You know, when dead people are trying to talk to you, it's a pain.
I got things to do, man.
It's like, you remember Ghost?
Yeah, I remember Ghost.
When Whoopi Goldberg and Patrick Swayze's doing that song over and over again? What, it drove me crazy.
Oh, my love.
No, that wasn't the song. It's Henry VIII.
My darling.
Anyway, that is my crackpot theory. Take it to the bank theory.
Take it to the bank. Cash it.
No, put it all on that theory.
Much like Matt put it all on red. Put it on red, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
You need just to put like it Matt. All on.
But just when you walk out to the parking lot with all your money, after you get all that money because I told you to bet on it, drive away.
Yeah.
Don't sit there and wait for someone to hit you over the head. Then you have to, you know.
Agreed.
I forgot about that. Matt did that too.
Yeah.
So maybe he told, did he tell Kevin about that?
No.
There you go.
Oh,
stitches get stitches.
All
Matt's not who he pretends to
be. If we weren't titling this episode A Matter of Geography, we'd title it Snitches Get Stitches. All right, guys.
Matt is not who he pretends to be, but I'm telling you, I watched the episode last night, was thinking about it, and then I watched it again. I go, that's it. He's seeing the departed.
Okay. You've had your time, okay?
He sees the woman he was sleeping in the gutters with all the time.
Anywho, that is it for this week's The Leftovers with Jay and Jack. You can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Once again, it's 385-309-0311. Call anytime with your Leftovers questions, comments, and or theories.
You should change that song because it's going to confuse people and they're going to remember 206.
You're the one that's making it worse at saying it. Anywho, also you can send an email to lostpodcast@gmail.com. You can also, we put threads for every episode over at facebook.com/group/JayandJackGroup, among many other TV shows that are on there. So definitely join up there. Like I said earlier, we have some special thanks to give out to some of our patrons over at patreon.com. We have Eckhart Richter, Chris O'Brien, and Tack from Tokyo. So big thanks to them. And if you would like to be thanked by name at the end of each episode, you can check out patreon.com/JayandJack. We have different levels in which you contribute that have different things. Like if you do $5 a month, you get an exclusive Facebook patrons only group, which is a lot of fun. And you can also you also get an exclusive podcast that we do once a month that is voted by you, the listener, over at that patrons page. So,
have we come up with a secret handshake yet?
No secret handshake yet. So in time, I guess.
Shake, not snake.
Shake. Snake. Shake the snake. Jake the snake.
Jake the snake.
He was one of my favorite wrestlers growing up. Jake the snake. He was kind of crazy.
I thought he was a football player.
Well, Jake the snake was the
wrestler.
Jake
Plummer. Jake the snake Plummer.
Oh. But wasn't there the wrestler and he always had the big boa constrictor?
Oh, that's right. No, I don't remember that.
No. My great grandmother loved professional wrestling. I used to always watch it with her. So I do remember
you two watching professional wrestling.
All right. On that note, we will see you guys next time. Go Chargers. Yes. Hasta luego. And
speaking
goodbye.
Of people that don't like dogs, Chargers are playing Steelers tonight.
Oh, man. Really?
What?
Anywho.
I'm just saying.
Hasta luego and goodbye.
Bye.